Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the third chapter of the book of the prophet Jonah. This is the first lesson for today, this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, there are many people who don't like their jobs. And for various reasons, people hate their jobs. For some, it's the long hours they have to put in, or maybe a long commute just to simply get to their jobs. For others, it's the hard work they have to put in that's slowly beating down on their body. And for some others, it's the stress that their job entails causing other health problems. Others find their boss or their co-workers unbearable. For others, it's the pay is not good enough, or it's not enjoyable, or they're not particularly good at what they're doing. For many, their job is just simply a way to earn a living, and they don't like their jobs at all. But what if it wasn't the job, per se, that you didn't like? It was the result of doing that job. Now, perhaps it's kind of hard for us to find a correlation, but maybe if you found yourself working at an abortion clinic, you would not enjoy or not like the result of you doing your job. In a way, that's how Jonah, the prophet, felt. He didn't want to do his job because he didn't like the result of what would happen if he did his job of preaching the word. Because he knows that the word of the Lord always produces fruit. For the law convicts and the gospel saves. Now God told Jonah at the beginning of the book, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now Nineveh was a leading city and soon to be capital of Assyria, a country to the north of Israel. Nineveh was a wicked and adulterous place. The book of the prophet Nahum is written specifically against Nineveh and Assyria, and there Nahum lists some of the wickedness and adulteries of Nineveh. He said they practiced evil against the Lord. Prostitution, witchcraft, and cruelty. Jonah and the Israelites knew Nineveh well. Assyria and Israel were big enemies. So God telling Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh would be like God telling someone today from America to go and preach to Mecca or to Mosul, that's the head of ISIS headquarters in Iraq. Mosul, by the way, is in the exact same location as ancient Nineveh. So it comes as no surprise that Jonah didn't want to go. It's not that Jonah hated his job. He was a prophet. God spoke directly to Jonah, and Jonah spoke God's word to the people. He served as a mediator. We see other instances in other portions of the Bible, of Jonah doing his job. Now, Jonah hesitated because he knew the word of the Lord works. He knew that if he was to go to Nineveh and preach to them, they would repent, they would believe in God, God would forgive them. And Jonah did not want that. These were his enemies. They didn't deserve to be saved. They didn't deserve to be forgiven in the eyes of Jonah. So, of course, we know what he did. Instead of going by land northeast to Nineveh, he headed to the Mediterranean Sea and hopped on a boat and went to Tarshish, either straight north to Tarshish in Asia Minor or straight west towards Spain. Either way, he went in the opposite direction. So God caused a storm to come up on the Mediterranean Sea, and when Jonah told his fellow shipmates that the storm was because of him, he convinced them to throw them overboard, and the storm stopped. And in order to save Jonah, God led a great fish to swallow Jonah. And there he stayed in this belly of this great fish for 3 days and three nights. And he prayed to the Lord and confessed his sins, repented. And then God caused that fish to spit Jonah up on dry ground. And there we finally get to our text for today. When God said a second time, "Now go to Nineveh and preach against it." Jonah hesitated at first because he knew the word of the Lord works. He knew that the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that the word of God never returns to him empty. So he hesitated. He didn't want to go and preach to the Ninevites because they weren't worthy. Sometimes we get that same thought in our eyes, that somehow we're better than others. We all know people who haven't lived the best of life. Maybe some people that have mistreated us. Some who haven't heard the gospel or haven't wanted to hear the gospel in the past. They don't deserve to be Christians, we tell ourselves. They don't deserve to step foot in this congregation or to associate with Christians in any way. They don't deserve to hear the gospel, we tell ourselves, so we don't want them to even come to faith, just like Jonah did with the Ninevites. And when they do, it's not fair, we complain to God like the brother of the prodigal son. I've been faithful all my life, and I've always strived to obey God's word, and then there is this guy over here, who has done many horrible and wicked things and even hated you, and you're just going to forgive him like nothing happened? So we hesitate. But we often hesitate to share the word for a completely different reason. The law can be harsh. People don't appreciate hearing the law. To tell someone that what they believe is wrong, to tell someone that the way they have been living their life is contrary to Scripture, and unless they repent and turn to God, they too will perish forever in hell. Not too many people appreciate hearing that message. We're afraid of how someone might react. Afraid of what they might say about us or might do to us. So we have the tendency or we have the temptation to downplay God's word. To downplay the law, to say it's not as serious of sin as God says it is. We have the tendency to change God's word or not preach the law in its fullness. There's that temptation to get rid of some of God's laws. To change a little bit, to update ourselves so we don't seem so old-fashioned or so discriminatory or hateful. To keep up with the changing times, we have the temptation just to get rid of this law and that law and appear more loving and accepting of others. And we try to justify it by saying that we simply don't want to turn anyone off to the gospel. But it's not withholding. It's not loving to withhold the full extent of God's law from others. If we don't point out someone's sin and the results of that sin and where they'll go because of that sin, then who will? What would have happened to the city of Nineveh if Jonah never went and preached as God commanded? Look at what happened when Jonah did finally go and preach to Nineveh. Now, his message, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned, and of course, it's just a summary of Jonah's message. But look what happened. They repented. From the least of them to the greatest. They all saw their wickedness, their sin, and the results of sin, and they repented and turned to the Lord, even the king. When the message came to the king, he issued an edict that everyone should mourn in sackcloth, everyone should sit down in ashes, signs of repentance. in hopes that the Lord would repent. I mean, the Lord would take away his wrath and not destroy them as he had warned. The bottom line is this. The word of the Lord works. The law works. It convicts hearts. It shows us our sin and our need for a Savior. And because of the labor of the Lord is not in vain, because his word does not go out without producing fruit, we don't hesitate to preach all of the law, telling them of their sins without holding back, not downplaying the seriousness of their sins so the Lord could bring them to repentance. But the law better not be the only message we share with others. After the law, of course, comes the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ has come down to this earth, lived a perfect life for us, suffered and died in our place, and rose from the dead for our eternal life. The news of salvation by grace through faith, apart from anything we have done or could ever do. When someone sees their sin and need of a Savior, we tell them of their Savior, Jesus Christ. But think about the gospel in the eyes of an unbeliever for a second. God sent his son into the world to suffer and die to save his enemies. And that son was born of a virgin, so he's true God and true man at the same time. And throughout his lifetime, Jesus performed miracle after miracle, like walking on water and changing water into wine and casting out demons and raising people from the dead. And Jesus himself willingly died so that 3 days later he could rise from the dead. And of course, although Jesus is alive, he is ascended into heaven and he's staying in heaven until someday, anytime, he can come down and judge the world and destroy it. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The whole message of the gospel is absurd. From his conception to birth, from the fact that he rose from the dead, that he's true God and true man, all of it is contrary to reason, against science. Ridiculous, absurd, foolishness is the message of the gospel unbelievers. So we come to the conclusion, why bother? We all know people have rejected the gospel in the past. We all know people who don't know Jesus Christ, don't want to know God, don't care to know him. So why do we have to share the word? Why bother going through all it takes to share the word with others if they're just going to reject it anyway? It's like going over to the Middle East and preaching over there. It simply won't work. So why even do it? That's not why Jonah hesitated. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, not because it wouldn't work to preach to that unbelieving nation. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew it would work. Look what happened with the Ninevites. We are told that they believed God. Not only did they believe God's warning that he was going to destroy their city in 40 days unless they repented, but they also believed in God. The message that Jonah shared with them was not just repent or in 40 more days God's going to destroy your city. He also shared with them the message of the gospel. Not only did they repent, but they believed in him for salvation. Jesus says in Matthew 12, he is condemning the unbelieving Jews of his day when he said, "The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here." Jonah shared with the people of Nineveh the message of the gospel, and they believed. And now they're in heaven. The people of Nineveh produced fruit in keeping with that repentance. They repented of their sin. They believed in God, turned from their evil ways. At least for a while. Now, we're not exactly sure the message Jonah shared with them. We're not exactly sure what the Ninevites believed. And we're not exactly sure how long that repentance and how long that faith lasted. We do know it didn't last very long. Perhaps about 40 years, maybe a little bit longer, after Jonah preached to Nineveh, the Assyrians came down and attacked the northern kingdom of Israel and completely destroyed it in 722 BC. The Ninevites did not remain in the Word. They lost their faith and they returned to the wickedness from which God had warned them of. But they did not remain in the Word. The Word works. There are some people who may not like their jobs and may not want to do them. Jonah did not want to do his job because he knew that the Word works. As Christians, it's each and every one of our duties, or our jobs, our responsibilities, our privilege to share the Word with others, both law and gospel to everyone, that they may repent and believe and be saved. You may not like your job personally, but this is a job that we love to do, to share the message of sin and salvation. And because the Word works, because the Word always produces fruit, because we never know when the Holy Spirit is going to work faith behind the scenes, we willingly spread the gospel to everyone. Even to the seemingly most hardened of sinners, we share the gospel with them. So they may repent from their sins, turning to the Lord and believe in Him. We remain in the Word ourselves and lead others to remain in the Word so the Holy Spirit can continue working through that gospel. So He may continue strengthening their faith. That they may always see the loving God, the compassionate God who had mercy on the Ninevites as He had mercy on us. They may see the mercy and compassion and their Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.